Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On average, we all lose around 80 strands of hair a day. But when does the hair loss become a problem that needs specific attention and treatment? Dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman is with me on the line now to tell us just that. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
We have had so many questions come into us on this. I'm tempted to go straight to them. In fact, I think I will.
Sure.
And we'll get all of the information that way. So I have this first one. My 16-year-old son is extremely conscious of his receding hairline. His dad lost his hair when he was in his 20s. My son's barber recently told him he would be bald in a few years. Is there anything we can do?
And that's such a great question to start with. And the answer is definitely yes. And the one strong point I wanted to get across today was seek medical help early. Don't wait until things are in a bad way, because when you lose hair follicles, they're gone. So I would say that that young man should go straight to their GP and be asked and ask to be referred to a dermatologist, not a trichologist, a medical dermatologist, because there are medications which can certainly help slow down and delay that process. So it's a lot more stressful to go bald in your teens and 20s than it is in your 40s and 50s. It's not that anybody wants to go bald at all, but we can all see why it's easier to cope with at a later stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there are medications which can help him. And indeed, some young men will seek hair transplants at an early age if there's a strong family history of baldness.
And what's your take on the hair transplant, Rosemary?
I think it's marvellous. It's marvellous for people who need it. And the trouble is, if people leave it too late, there won't be enough donor hair. There won't be enough healthy hair that's not under the hormonal control, usually behind the ears and around the back of the scalp. So there is definitely a role for hair transplants, Claire, but only for certain hair disorders. And a strong family history of hair loss, like that young lad, is a situation where a hair transplant may become necessary in the future. I, as you can imagine, would not be in favour of tourist hair transplants, because if you develop a problem and you go abroad, you must have backup in Ireland to deal with it.
It's the aftercare.
But that being said, I've seen fabulous results from other countries.
Mm-hmm. Let's come to this one now. This is Margaret, who's 73. And over the years, Margaret says, my hair has become extremely light and she loses a lot when she shampoos and when she brushes her hair. She's very healthy. She's a good diet. No history of hair loss in her family. I just want to hold on to what I have.
That's probably the second most common thing we see. So the first thing you have to do there is take the history and make sure that there is no aggravating factor at this point in her life. So she might well be on a medication, be it for blood pressure or any other disorder that could have a side effect of hair loss that's not been noticed. She may have developed a nutritional deficiency such as low iron or thyroid dysfunction, etc. She may not be getting enough protein or having a well enough balanced diet. Or it may be simply the fact that the most common cause of hair loss is normal aging. So by the age of 50, we actually have 50% of the hair follicles we were born with. So it's very rare when you see a 90 or 100-year-old person. It's very rare to see them with a big thick head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural to lose our hair.
I don't really want to hear this, Rosemary. I don't want to know about this.
well, it's true. And the important thing is that I don't like when people assume, oh, I'm 73, therefore I must have to lose hair. That's the way it is. I'd say, well, that might be the case once you have ruled out anything else that we can do to help. And also, she could still be put on medications that would slow down her hair loss, even something as simple as ketoconazole shampoo that she can buy across the counter can slow down her hair loss and improve her hair growth. But just because she's 73 doesn't mean that she couldn't be taking very safe prescribed medications to make her hair grow better.
Mm-hmm. So these
are 73 is not old.
No,
Claire.
It's not.
73
it's
is
not.
The new 60 or 58. So I want a head of hair at 73.
Oh, we all do. And you're saying that you can get over-the-counter remedies to begin with and start with that, are you?
Well, yes, even doing simple things like not, one mistake people will make is they'll over-groom their hair. People, when the hair gets thinner, they can often become more reliant on more regular hair grooming. I had one lady who was blow-drying her hair 3 times a week because she had such fine hair, but it was then actually causing the hair to break, the heat of the blow-dryer. So she had to reduce that. So simple things that you can do yourself are eat a well-balanced diet, high-protein diet, don't over-dry it. Don't cause traction alopecia, which is another common thing, where people overstyle it and they pull it tight into ponytails or cornrows or buns, and then that pulls on the hair along the hairline. And then the hair growth, the shampoo Nizoral, which is actually for seborrheic dermatitis, does stimulate hair growth.
Okay, so that's something else you can try before you...
I should have bought shares in it before I said that just now, shouldn't I?
No, listen, it's great to get the tips. This one says, this listener says, I have psoriasis. It only came about when I had my children. It comes and goes. I often get it on my scalp, normally during stressful periods. And they would like to know if it's doing permanent damage to my hair follicles.
It's only going to cause permanent damage if it's severe psoriasis, if it's causing itch and she's rubbing and scratching and causing chronic inflammation. Psoriasis doesn't so much affect the hair follicle as the skin over the hair. And therefore, I would recommend that she has her psoriasis treated anyway. But no, is psoriasis a classical cause of hair loss? No.
Anya has,
but I have seen people combining, you know, where they've psoriasis and then other issues will cause the problem.
Okay, so she might just need some more advice on that to go and see somebody. Anya in Dublin has disappearing eyebrows and a receding hairline. What's the cause? What's the solution?
Really important question. So there are a number of things that could be going on there. Again, eyebrows can thin as we get older, but there is a condition called frontal fibrosing alopecia, which can often start with loss of the eyebrows. It can often be combined with a quite lumpy, bumpy texture on the skin, an increase in redness and pigment, and a recession of the anterior hairline. And it's different to the normal hormonal recession, you know, the male pattern baldness. What you lose is the vellus hair, the soft fuzzy hair along the hairline. So if you notice that you've suddenly lost all that soft fuzzy hair that transitions between your face and your scalp, together with your eyebrows, that could herald that you are developing something which could be potentially severe and cause scarring. So not all hair loss is harmless, in that some hair loss actually scars the follicles and won't come back. Mm-hmm. So again, that history, without looking at her, straight to a dermatologist. Although disorders like thyroid disease, you can lose your outer eyebrow and have hair thinning. So I think she needs advice and she needs it soon.
Okay, so this listener would appreciate professional advice too. My son is only 18 and already concerned with thinning hair. His dad was already receding by the time I met him in his early 20s, and we think our son may end up the same way, which he would be very distressed about. And I suppose that's the important point, isn't it? Is there anything you would recommend now? Because they've considered Regain, they've considered a visit to the GP for a prescription for something called finasteride. Do you think that's the best way forward?
I think their approach is perfect. He's the same as the 16-year-old in the first case. He needs medical intervention now. And most importantly, he's getting distressed. That's going to affect his confidence and self-image. I think starting with the... I'm glad you mentioned Regain because I actually forgot it for a second. Over-the-counter, you can buy Regain, minoxidil, topically. It can be helpful in the early stages of hair loss. But it can be much harder to use if somebody has a lot of hair. It might be much easier to use for men with short hair than women with long hair, because it can make your hair look a bit greasy. But it's certainly something that you can go in and do immediately, and you're not going to do any harm with it. But I would definitely go to the doctor, and finasteride is a fantastic drug.
Okay, so they might consider that too.
So get him to the doctor.
Okay.
That's the one you mentioned that the GP could give.
Yes. Now, this is from the grandparent of an 8-year-old, who's quite suddenly lost a lot of hair on the back of her head down at the base. It's bald for about an inch up, if we can imagine that. Now, she was prescribed cream. I don't know what cream she was prescribed, but this listener says there isn't much sign of regrowth yet. Would Dr. Coleman have any advice, and what might be the cause?
Okay, well, the likely diagnosis in that child is called alopecia areata, A-R-E-A-T-A. And there is a pattern called ophiasis, where it starts down at the hairline, often at the back, and can work up. So instead of getting individual little patches throughout the scalp, it does exactly what you're... It's like a snake-like pattern, and it can spread up. So alopecia areata is an autoimmune disorder, and it can be associated with other autoimmune disorders. So we'd always look for thyroid disease, and often it will run in families with vitiligo, diabetes, etc. And the treatment can be steroid lotions, steroid injections, or when severe, oral medications. So again, that is a case where, as with most of these cases, Claire, they need to go to a doctor, because there is medical help available for most of these conditions.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like they have, but you're saying maybe a referral, are you, to a dermatologist for that one?
Well, if they've gone to the doctor and it's not helping and they've used the steroids, then it's time for a pediatric dermatologist for an 8-year-old.
Okay.
And there are new, very good drugs for that condition.
Our next question is about a 22-year-old who is losing her hair, and they ask, possibly due to long COVID. Have you heard of this?
Yes, definitely. So there is another very common cause of hair loss called telogen effluvium, or hair shedding. It's probably the third most common cause of hair loss. And that is where the body gets a shock or a stress of any cause. So it does not have to be a psychological stress, but it could be a sudden bereavement. It could be after a pregnancy or a sudden severe illness or flu. And it is very, very well described with COVID. Most telogen effluvium is what we call acute. It's just self-correcting, and it occurs 100 days roughly after the stress, 2 to 3 months after the stress, and it will then start to regrow. Okay. It's when you shed the hair, but she sounds like she might have chronic telogen effluvium.
Okay, so listen, the message is that you can get help, and it's really important to go and seek that out. Dr. Rosemary Coleman,
yes,
thank you so much for bringing us all of that today.